Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Need training? Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of weekly live and on-demand training sessions. Plus, get access to vendor setup form templates and reference tools that will help you and your team avoid fraud, fines, and bad vendor data. So sign up for a free account to get access to free training sessions, vendor process FAQs, and a resource library with information you need to manage your vendor master file. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. You may worry about vendor banking information and preventing fraudulent payments. However, both internal and external fraudsters are after your vendor's checks too. Now, if you want to make sure you're protecting remittance addresses for your checks, keep listening. Welcome to episode 284, four ways to secure your vendor remittance address from unauthorized changes. Now, episode 226 of the podcast is called Why is Check Fraud Exploding Right Now? And you'll want to take a listen to that episode just to see why you should be so concerned with your vendor's remittance addresses. Because I know we always talk about business email compromise and how the requests for bank changes come through, but requests for vendor remittance address changes come through as well to divert the check payments. So again, listen to that episode 226 to talk about why it's exploding right now. But that does still mean that you need to make sure you secure your vendor remittance addresses while it's in your accounting system or ERP to make sure that there are no unauthorized changes. And really, this is for both internal and external fraudsters. Now, I also have, which is why I'm talking about this right now, yesterday, as of the published date of this podcast, I did a free webinar. So I have monthly webinar series. Last year was 20 tips in 20 minutes. You might have attended some. This year, it's everything in 5 steps. And so I talked about on the webinar, it's a half an hour, and it was all on avoiding paper check fraud when paying your vendors in 5 steps. So I'm going to leave a link to that recording. You can still listen to it. You can still get the handouts. And there were really 5 good handouts. And one of the handouts was a PDF of the presentation that has some links in it that you can use to validate your vendor remittance information, some recommendations. But on this podcast, I'm just going to talk about how you can secure it when it's in your accounting system or ERP. And so there are 4 ways, and you may have more. These are just recommendations. And so let's start with number 1. The first one is to make sure that you have a way to approve any adds or changes. And so when you have a new vendor add or an existing vendor change, especially if you have a segregation of duties issue where you have more one person performing more than one step of the vendor add or change process, you need someone to come in and do a review and approval of those of the updates, ads or updates that you make, because that is a compensating control for segregation of duties, or you can add it in as an additional control. Now, again, approving ads and changes. And this can be, I've seen actually working with some of my clients, I've seen where this is something formal in the system, where there is a whole separate request that comes out. But I've also seen where it's a trigger based on the fields that were updated. There's like a trigger email that goes out. So it all depends on your system. You can work with your systems team or your IT team to identify the best way for that approval. I've also seen it too, where, you know, the system doesn't have anything and it's just completely old school with reports, and you can do that as well. So that's the first one. The second one is just limit who has access to view it. So if you have a remittance address and you have that vendor as a check payment vendor, maybe you don't want to give that remittance address access for anyone to view it outside of the vendor team or the accounts payable team members that actually need to identify the right address. So maybe they post the invoice or the request for payment to the right address on the vendor record. But anyone else, do they really need to see the address? Because they could get, right, they can be targeted because maybe they don't have the training that you have to not give out that information. They could be targeted to reveal some sensitive information, so that if you require, which I do recommend, existing remittance address be given when the remittance address is being changed, and they contact, I don't know, I always call her Helpful Sally, right, in the other department that has access, and she doesn't know she shouldn't give it out. And so she gives that information out, and the fraudster, external fraudster, is able to update it and or request an update and provide you what you need in order to at least at that step have that go through. So limit who has access to view it. And I do understand that you may have some vendors or some internal team members that need to see the vendor's remittance information. And so maybe you can do things like mask it. But if there's no need for anyone to see the remittance address, then just take that away. And that's really what's considered least privilege access. Now, the third thing to do is to view the audit log. So we all have those great internal employees, and most of them, right, are really great, and you don't have to worry about it, but you just never know. I did a podcast episode really recently, and I don't remember what episode it was, but I talked about the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, or ACFE, and how they publish every 2 years a report to the nation about internal fraud. And so there's a lot of good information. And I did put a link in that podcast episode to that report and some really great infographics that talks about the behavior of internal fraudsters. And it was 8 signs that you can look for. And that's what the episode was on. And it was actually episode 283. And it was the 8 most common behavior warning signs of internal fraud, according to the ACFE. So you might want to check that episode out as well. But that does mean that you do want to check the audit logs. You want to check for things like remittance addresses being changed and then being changed right back, right? Because they know when the pay cycle, the internal team member knows when the pay cycle is being run. And so they know that they can go in and change to their own address. And then once the pay cycle is run, then they can go back and revert it to the vendor's address. Now, you can review the audit logs. That's fine. You can also maybe automate this process, work with your IT or system team, so that if a vendor's address is ever changed to an address that matches an employee address, maybe in your payroll database, or maybe if you have a vendor record for your employee for reimbursements, then you can check that as well. And if you don't have access to that, you don't to the employee information, you don't necessarily need it if you are able to have the IT team or the system team do that comparison in the background and just have them notify you or management if any matches ever occur. All right, so that was the third one, reviewing the vendor audit logs. And then the fourth one is to make sure you have a recurring security audit. So one of the things we always talk about or always see is where when team members either leave the company, typically that's automated, but sometimes not. But when they leave the company or when they move to a different department, their access is not necessarily removed or adjusted accordingly. So you always want to make sure you do a recurring security audit, not only to see who has what role, but also to identify what that role gives them access to. And I told this story before that it was 2 years before when I was on a prior position before I knew that the purchasing team had access to update our contact information. Now that's because we hadn't done a security audit. And so once we had performed that security audit, looked at, again, not only who has those roles, but what do those roles give them the option to do. And depending on this, on your accounting system or ERP, you may not only need to look at the roles, but you may need to look in a different section to see what, for example, in SAP, you can attach different objects to roles, which will give them additional access. So you want to look at all of that. Don't just assume that just because, for example, it's a purchasing role, that it's going to not give them access to do, to add or edit something just because, right, it's a purchasing role and you're looking at the vendor master file or the vendor record. It may well give them access to do it via an object or another, I don't know, configuration checkbox or change. So make sure you understand that and that you're always verifying that only the people that need access to view, to add, to edit, right, the vendor record are those that actually need that level of access. All right, so that's it for today. Very short podcast. Be sure to make to check out the episodes if you are interested in those topics that I talked about on internal fraud and why check fraud is exploding. And then also, if you're interested, make sure you check the show notes for the webinar recording on 5 steps to avoid check fraud when paying your vendors. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 285th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.